But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Thursday, on the Feast of the Holy Relics, I led our school children in our annual Rosary for the Dead cemetery procession, where our young ones did this small but precious act of charity towards the suffering souls in purgatory. And today, when the Rosary Confraternity of our little parish visits the Gate of Heaven Cemetery to do their own service for the dead, we also have the commemoration of the Feast of Our Lady of Suffrage. Our Lady, our mighty Heavenly Mother and Protector, has dominion even in purgatory, both in listening the pains and pleads of the souls detained there, and setting souls free from there, as the true gate of heaven does. This Wednesday is also Veterans Day, when we pray for our deceased war veterans and all the victims of all our wars. How many blessed days we have to remind us of our duty to show charity to the dead. War was also the start of the devotion to Our Lady of Suffrage in the 17th century France. Its starters were many leading officers and clergymen who had witnessed the horrors of the 30 Years' War, which was one of the most destructive wars in the history of Europe. These soldiers and priests started periodic visits to the prisons and tended to the spiritual and material needs of the unfortunate inmates there. And they joined their labors in the confraternity of Our Lady of Suffrage. This brotherhood encouraged its members to visit the prisoners and pray for their salvation. And each year during Holy Week, it rescued 3 imprisoned debtors. But the confraternity of Our Lady of Suffrage, as much as it cared for those ones shut in prisons, its primary concern was for those suffering souls languishing in purgatory. Besides being born in the midst of the horrors of war, the confraternity also had its spiritual warfare to battle. The new religion of Protestantism denied the existence of purgatory. And the answer of the Catholic Church to this was to preach the doctrine of purgatory with even greater fervor and vehemence, and to emphasize, no, even insist, that a Christian could release souls from its clutches by gaining indulgences for the dead. On this month of November, we should especially take our eyes away from worldly pleasures and think the afterlife of our deceased friends and family members, as well as our own eternity. And we cannot expect much encouragement from many those who say that they are the followers of Jesus. One of our parishioners in Milwaukee told me that he was once debating with a Lutheran about purgatory. This Lutheran followed obediently his master Luther, who once wrote, "We don't have anything in Scripture concerning purgatory. It too was certainly fabricated by goblins." This man said to our parishioner, "Prove me that purgatory is in the Bible. If you can show me chapter and verse where Jesus spoke about purgatory, I'll become a Catholic." I wish I would have been there talking with this man. I would have shown him the words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. Matthew. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it in the day of judgment. For of thy words thou shalt be justified, and of thy words thou shalt be condemned. Surely, if of every idle word we must make account before God, and still we are surely not condemned to hell for every such word, then there must be some temporal punishment in the next life. Dear faithful, as clear as it is to us the necessity to do the works of charity, both for the living and for the dead, it is remarkable how much time is wasted in idle words and recreations. Not only is this time wasted, but it is time earned in purgatory. This November is an ample opportunity to pledge ourselves not to lose a moment of time. As Holy Patriarch Job has said, "Times are not hid from the Almighty, but they that know Him know not His days." We are truly careless and unworthy children of God if we allow our days to slip by in idleness or useless activities. Time is truly an enormous treasure. First of all, it is a great mercy that we even live here on earth, counting our days of life, which often last to decades and decades. This might seem as a long time until we actually reach those advanced years and realize how fast we have lost our opportunity to do good. But remember that time is found only in this life. It is not found in the next, in heaven or in hell. Pope Leo XIII once wrote a poem named "O for 1 hour," which goes like this: "A cry resounds through gloomy dungeons drear, 'O for a single hour away from here! What would the spirits do in time so brief? Purge their sinful souls with heartfelt grief." But the lost souls will never have this hour, not even a minute in which to make a good act of contrition and return to God. And how do we who at least make an effort to portray ourselves as followers of Jesus, how do we employ our time? Do we think and meditate that God really should avenge on our bodies the instruments of our sin? Should we not repent and do penance for the remainder of our lives? Or are we like those followers of the world whom we pity so much, who let their precious time pass uselessly and unprofitably? Let us take lesson of Saint Paul in today's epistle, how we should act. "Put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, supporting one another and pardoning one another, if any have a quarrel against any man, as also our Lord hath pardoned us, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection." Saint Paul urges the Colossians to put on charity. Charity brings unity to all the virtues and gives them strength. Without charity, any good we work is isolated and can easily be destroyed. Men without charity may, on occasion, do good to their neighbors, but such good actions are prompted less by the heart than by the opportunity of making a grand gesture. They are not due to a habit of charity, but to the mood of the moment. But the Christian is always a person of charity. and how much a Christian will eventually regret if he wastes his years on this earth doing idle works of man. How bitterly did Saint Paul shed tears of all those years of his youth which he had wasted and worked for his own damnation in persecuting our Lord's faithful disciples. And how happily and with what joy he bowed his head to accept the blow of his executioner, because he knew that by shedding his own blood for the Church of Christ, he would finally see the redemption from this world of sorrows and enter into everlasting heaven. We will show great act of charity to the suffering souls if we engage the power and goodness of the Blessed Virgin in their favor, saying to her, "Thou art the consolation of those who are in purgatory." Therefore, Holy Church in many places celebrates the Sunday in the octave of All Saints as the special feast of Our Lady of Suffrage. As said, doing good to the living might drive us to temptation that we merely boost ourselves and our reputation. That temptation is gone when we pray for the holy souls in purgatory. By praying for the dead, mostly forgotten by this world, there is no danger that you might be gaining admiration and respect of the world. In fact, it is often that the opposite happens. How many people today share that Luther's thought that purgatory is a fabrication invented by goblins? So praying for poor souls is time well spent. When praying today in our cemetery rosary procession, think of yourself, what destiny God might have reserved for me. Perhaps I have merited hell, like those lost souls, begging for 1 hour. If I have ever been guilty of even one mortal sin, there is no doubt that I have deserved eternal punishment. If unhappily death had carried me off at the very moment I committed mortal sin, I would now be suffering in the flames of hell, and times of mercy would have forever ended on me. And instead of loving and consoling words, "Rest in peace," my family might as well have carved "too late" on my tombstone. But good God has, however, in his bountiful mercy, given us time to repent. We the living have been given the chance, in the words of Pope Leo, to purge our souls with heartfelt grief. And how is this precious time spent? The people of the world, those who carry no care of either faith or morals, waste this time in amusement and pleasures, if not indeed in committing sins of every kind. At the hour of death, how bitterly will they regret having lost the best years of their lives. So are we any different than those people? Let us forget for the moment if we are in full health and still in our young and strong years. At any determined moment, the date which God Almighty knows fully well, he can call me all the sudden to my own particular judgment, and next year it might very well be my grave lying there, joined together with the numerous others in the Gate of Heaven cemetery. How greatly I would then hope that my family in the flesh and my friends in faith would listen the words of Saint Paul to have charity on me and show me the bowels of God's mercy by praying for me, pleading Our Lady of Suffrage to redeem me, and have Masses said for me. Dear faithful, I recently read one new church statement saying that it is unfortunate that there is nowadays so little mention of purgatory among Catholics. That is not only unfortunate, being silent about purgatory is downright cruel. It is not only cruel towards those poor souls who plead us to spare time to say prayers for their delivery. It also shows a good amount of lukewarmness to our own eternal destiny. So let us thank God who has granted us yet another Sunday in our lives by showing our charity for the church suffering, the poor souls in purgatory. We Catholics, we have no excuse. We know that time is the most precious temporal treasure we have, and its waste is a tremendous foolishness. Time passes and never returns. My childhood, school, married life, church, work, children, all that time with them has passed and will not return. If I have spent the time well, so much the better. If I have wasted it, so much the worse. The future is not mine. Death may strike at any moment. I have only the present for myself. So shall I let it pass by without using it profitably for my own soul and the souls of others? God forbid this should happen. The time of mercy for those poor souls for whom we pray today has ended, as much as they can do for themselves. But we still have time, which God, in His astonishing patience, has mercifully granted us. Let us then repent. Repent for having offended God by wasting so many hours of our life. Let us consecrate to our Blessed Virgin the rest of our life. From now on, may every day of my life be a full day. Then we have firm hope and trust that in the day of judgment, Mary will free us, her servants, from condemnation and all tribulation. Let us then invoke her help and her power over the flames of purgatory, and let us never fear that we shall find her deaf to our prayers or unwilling to spare her time to us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.